And I don't know what happened. Somewhere between there and now, I got all confused. So we're here. And it's not his fault, though. And that's not what I'm trying to say. Amen. And praise the Lord, we're here. And I don't know if a lot of faces here I recognize, but we were here 7 years ago, we'll say. I was here. My wife was here. And you guys have been supporting us by prayer, financially, sending medicine, different things. You guys send over in little boxes, gifts. And we just want to thank you, amen. And that's why I'm ashamed that I'm here late, because if there's any church I should be real early, it should have been here, but that's the way it is. And anyways, you see on the display and the flag there, it's not Germany anymore. And you say, what is that all about? Well, I'm going to show you here in a slideshow how the Lord led us, how he led us from Germany. And now we're transitioning to a place in northern Italy where they speak German. And I know that there's probably a lot of questions right now that you may have. After the PowerPoint, I'll try taking questions. But I think a lot of it will be answered in this little PowerPoint I put together. And if you're like me, you don't even know where this South Tyrol is. So that's why we'll do this thing. And anyways, praise the Lord, we're here. And I'm going to do a little slideshow. And I just want to, if you're coming to the picnic later, I don't know what the weather will be like, but I'm going to be there myself and just... If you have any questions, anything about that go too fast, just catch me afterward at the picnic and come bother me, amen, when I'm eating. I know the Baptists don't like that, but come bother me and I'll try to help you in some way. So first I want to thank you. Praise the Lord that you're here and we're here. Thank you for your support and your prayers. God is good, amen. So here we got a little slideshow, and here you see a little picture of us. And I'm going to turn this little PowerPoint on. A little laser, and my son Luca. Now, Luca, you haven't seen him yet. You'll see him in a little bit. He was born in Austria, so you probably never saw my son. He's about going to be 3 here. He was born in Austria while we're on the field. My daughter Tirza, you probably remember her. She was here, maybe a little girl, a little baby. And then my wife Graziella, she'll be playing the harp later, Lord willing, during the service. And South Tyrol, I'm going to show you a little bit about this land. But first, I want to review kind of what happened between the time we left in 2015 and now. In 2015, in November, we left for the field of Europe. We left for Germany. Now, we started out in a place called Austria, right on the border of Switzerland, because we needed to learn German. And there's a good brother over there named Nico Verhoef, or how you want to say his name. But Brother Nico is a veteran missionary, European, and he has a German-speaking church in East Switzerland. So we went there to sit under him. And that's how we got our feet under us, is being new to Europe, we needed to get our feet under us. So we ended up moving right here to the border of Austria. And my wife and I are both dual citizens. I have a Luxembourg citizenship, and that means I'm a European citizen. I can move within Europe and work without any problems, no visas. And my wife is also a dual citizen of Italy. So we don't have paperwork for being a missionary. So that's a blessing. So we lived right on the border here because of that. And we went and were part of this church. And we were about 15 minutes from Germany. And this is all German speaking, as you know. Now, South Tyrol, the area we're going to be looking at, is right here. Just so you know, this city right here and this area right here. This German speaking area, which is still Italy. So I'll show you that in a little bit. But now when we moved overseas, we lived right here. This was our first little home in the middle of this building that had a family above us and below us. And it was a miracle to get this place because it was right on the border of Switzerland. And we needed to live there because we needed to go back and forth to church. And the Lord provided that. Amazing. It was a blessing. We lived right on the Rhine River. The Rhine, if you ever heard of the Rhine River, it's one of the most, one of the famous rivers up in the German area. And when we got there, the church was very hospitable, gave us some food, and then, of course, right away, we got into language school. And language school was our life for the first 2.5 years. That's about what I did. Learn the language. And after about a year, I was preaching in some German, and 2 years, I was preaching in some German, and it was all German at the church. You know, we didn't try to speak English. And but praise God, we still have a lot of work to work on the German, but I just preached here in July at a little conference in Switzerland, German, and we're just learning that German. I read my German Bible daily. That's what we do. We love that German language, and that's where we learned it. Now, the church there, this is Brother Nico and his wife, Adana, and the church. And the Bible says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." And if you, it doesn't matter if you serve the Lord in Lowell, was it Rensselaer, the neighboring place. It doesn't matter where you serve the Lord, you're going to have to endure hardness. You're going to have to endure hardness. The battle really doesn't change overseas. It's all the same. It's really the same. And we saw a good example of enduring hardness in this brother. He endured hardness. He's been there for many years. And so we were blessed to have a trailblazer go before us and show us how to live in Europe as a Christian. It's very difficult in Europe. It's very cold there. Anyways, it was a blessing to have him as a helper. Now, my daughter, Tirza, she is very curious. All kids are very curious, as you know. And all the kids, they just want to know what whatever everything is. And my daughter, she would stand at her bedroom window and look out at our neighbor's house. And our neighbor was this older lady named Lotte. And Lotte was 91 years old, old Catholic woman. And this lady, I saw her all the time. I'd come out and I would say, "How are you doing?" She'd say, "Horrible." Every time, horrible. Horrible, horrible. She had pain and I don't know, she was unsaved. And anyways, I would be doing garden work and she would tell me, "You're doing that wrong, you're doing that wrong, you're doing that wrong." Well, I mean, 91 years old, she probably knows what she's doing. So I just did the bare minimum. And anyways, this old lady, my wife had a burden to see her get saved. And it was her 93rd birthday party or something, or she had her 93rd birthday. My wife wanted to go and visit her. And I was gone at the time, and this was in the last month we lived in Austria. Now, we lived in Austria 2.5 years, and then we moved to Germany, northern Germany, for 1 year. And that's where we just came from. So I'll talk about that in a second. But in the last month we lived in Austria, my wife went over to give her something with my daughter, and she fell and broke her foot. And for an older person, that's a pretty big deal. She just broke her foot, was laying there in pain. And my wife said, "You know, you don't have a lot of time to live. Can I talk to you about your soul?" And she got saved right there. And that was the Lord crushing, humbling her. And she knows she's saved too, by the way. When you call her, she answers. She knows, "I got saved at that time." And praise the Lord. The Bible says, "Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." Okay. In Austria, these are some cities we were able to witness in. The market squares, everything in Europe is centered around market. It's not like here. A lot of times here in America, we have the main streets, but there really is no market square where there's a fountain or... usually in Europe, it's one big church, a Catholic church or a Lutheran church, and then that's where everything goes from the center out, like a circle. And that's where we witness. Anyways, I was able to preach here, and that's a church right there. And as I was street preaching here and witnessing, this man came forward and listened and got saved. He got saved afterward. I witnessed to him, and his name was Amel Zeppich. And Amel is the first soul that got saved in Europe with German. Amen. So all German witnessing, he got saved. So that was a huge blessing. And he actually lives in a different area. He lives in Liechtenstein. That's actually a little different area. So that was a blessing. And over there in Europe, I grew up on a dairy farm. I don't know if you know that. I grew up in Wisconsin on a dairy farm. And I thought I'd be a dairy farmer my whole life, and then the Lord had different plans. But anyways, when I went over to Europe, I had to get a job to get health insurance. You can't get health insurance without working unless you're a refugee. And so I went over there and I had to get some kind of part-time job to get health insurance. And so I prayed, and I actually remember praying. I said, "Lord, I would really like to get a farm job, early morning chores." And I prayed that, you know. And people told me, "There's no chance that you're going to get a job over there doing farm work. There's just, you don't know anyone." And I showed up at the first place. I showed up, a first farm I showed up at. I didn't even give him my I sent him my resume. He didn't even look at it. And a farmer was kneeling there with some calves. And he said, "I'll try you out," some Catholic guy. And he didn't even need anyone. And I worked there 2.5 years. And that was, and then he had me do some potatoes in the summer. So that was another thing there, potatoes. But then up in Germany, I got a job working carpentry. So I did that for 1 year. And so God is always faithful. He can guide you. And I've seen God just pick you up over and over again. It is where God guides, God provides. He provides you anything you need if you're following him by faith. And I'm not saying that I have a lot of faith. I don't have a lot of faith. But he does it because His word is worthy and His Son is worthy. That's about it. And anyways, over there, there's an organization called Couriers for Christ. They come out of eastern Wisconsin. And what they do is they came over to us, and they usually never do Western European countries. And they came over to us, and they dumped a bunch of Bibles on us, 5,000 Martin Luther Bibles, and about almost 70, 100,000 John and Romans. We were able to, they passed out 1 year, about 2 years ago. And we had a Bible giveaway. And so people would come and hear preaching and get a Bible. Not very many came. But one man here, as I was on the street passing out things, and this man named Rudolf came by, and I said, hey, why don't you come tomorrow night, come the way you are, and if you listen to the preaching, you can, you know, walk away a son of God, you know. And he came to the thing the next day, listened to the preaching. Afterward, he was on our conviction. I caught him, and he did get saved, amen. And this guy named Rudolf. So you never know when you're out there, and it was raining. I remember the day I talked to this guy. I was out there only for 15, 20 minutes. It was raining. My whole table was just getting wet, and I felt like it was just a big waste of time. But it's not a waste of time, amen? And that was a blessing there. We were able to see a lot of tracks get out. The Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. And it is, you need fellowship. You need fellowship. You know, a lot of times, like this picnic today, you think, well, I don't really need maybe fellowship. Yeah, you do. Because without fellowship, you'll become dull. Iron sharpeneth iron. And you always think fellowship is an extra thing. No, it's part of walking with the Lord. We have fellowship with one another, but truly our fellowship is with His Son, Jesus Christ. That's in 1 John. So you need to have that fellowship. And we've been having a good fellowship over in Europe with other English-speaking people. You know, Poland, Ukraine, Netherlands. It doesn't really matter where you come from. English is the worldwide language. So we're always able to have good fellowship with other people in Europe. So it's a blessing. Now, over there in Europe, every year, 1 week, men, just men, boys included, amen, men or boys, whatever you are, we go on the street and we try to pick a place that we can do some witnessing in a German place. Or we try to street preach, witness, banners. We have 15, 20 guys sometimes, at least 8. And we try to go through cities in Europe and preach and try to win some souls. And these are just some areas that we've been able to do in the last couple years up here in Berlin and down to Dresden. This is where Luther did all his work. This is where we lived for 1 year, was right here up in northwest Germany in a place called Bielefeld. And that's about an hour and a half from Hanover. So if you know where Hanover is. Cologne is right here. This is Luxembourg. This is Switzerland. Anyway, so that was a blessing there to get the tracks out. 1 year I went to London, and the reason I went to London was Brother Dickens, and I think Brother Jeffers, where is he? Oh, so Brother Jeffers, he probably knows Brother Dickens, but Brother Dickens is a missionary over in England. Anyways, we went to London to kind of join up with his guys and do some street preaching in London, and the Lord, you know, I just went and joined the guys there, and these are some local Englishmen, and we went to a cemetery called Bun Hill Cemetery. Now, there is where Isaac Watts is buried, Suzanne Wesley, John Fox, who wrote Fox's Book of Martyrs, and a lot of great men are buried women, and there was a man there buried named John Bunyan, and John Bunyan wrote Pilgrim's Progress. That's the second best-selling book behind the Bible. And that's real, and they may try to dispute that today, but no, that's second behind the Bible. And anyways, this man was in prison for 12 years, one time and more times, because of his beliefs in the Word of God. He really was a pilgrim. And I just want to say this, I'm not called to England, but we're all called to be pilgrims and strangers in this earth. And I wanted to just read, he wrote one hymn in his life, and this is the first verse of his hymn. And his hymn is called To Be a Pilgrim. And he said, who would true valor see? Let him come hither. One here will constant be. Come wind, come weather. There's no discouragement shall make him once relent his first avowed intent to be a pilgrim. And confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Hebrews 11. And you're a pilgrim and a stranger. And your final destination is Zion. That's why this South Tyrol is the next step the Lord revealed as we pilgrimed along. I never even knew it existed. But that's what I'm trying to show you, is the Lord is going to lead us in a way that we don't know. You just follow by faith. Follow the Lord and He'll lead you on your way. And like I said, if it goes here, what happened? Boy. What is that, man? Okay. All right, well. Anyways. Up in northern Germany, we were able to do some witnessing, and And up here on the right is a church, and those three cages are where they starved Baptists in. So just to let you know that. There's a lot of history in Europe, and we've been able to preach and witness where people were killed and burned at the stake, and I'll show you more of that, but God's word is not bound. Amen. And anyways, we were up in northern Germany, and I don't know if you read our prayer letters, we moved up there, and I thought that the Lord would have me there start a church. The Lord did show me to go up there, but the Lord did not want me to start a church. So when I went up there, the Lord gave me scriptures, and so I moved up there, and I thought, finally, my wife and I will start a church in Europe, and live there until we die. People ask me, hey, I know you're not from here. How long are you going to stay here? Oh, I said, I'll die and I'll be buried over there, I told them. I did, I told everyone, I said, I'll die and I'll be buried over there in the cemetery. So, anyways, nice to get to meet you. It'd be nice to get to know you, That was what I said to people. And the Lord didn't want me to die there, amen. But anyways, the whole point is the Lord will lead us, and I'm not going to preach here right now, but what I'm trying to say is when you make any move in life, make it on scripture, but you don't also know what the Lord have you do in certain situations. But for us, we went to Northern Europe, and what made me pray about South Tyrol and even consider this land I didn't know existed was when I got up to Germany, I noticed there was a lot of Christians where I was living. And in Germany, Germany is a very dark country, but where the Lord led us, I started to see a lot of Christian activity. 7 times I went witnessing. In 3 different cities, I saw chick tracks every time. I saw tracks, sandwich signs, free Bible giveaway. What can I say? I saw, we would see singing in the street of hymns. And there was a Christian witness there. And I started to ask myself, Lord, do you want me to stay here and start a church and then try to recruit these other Christians and kind of, make better Christians out of Christians, which is good? Or do you want me to pray about a darker area in Germany, or where German is spoken, where they don't have a witness? Because there are places in Germany that there is no preacher. And so I prayed about it, and as I was praying, asking, seeking, knocking, then I met a missionary who told me about this area, South Tyrol. He said, hey, have you ever considered Italy? And I said, no, I'm not going to Italy, I went there and got my wife from Italy. My wife came from Sicily. But I said the Lord has equipped us for German speaking. And he said, well, you ever heard of South Tyrol? They speak German there. And I said, nah, not in Italy. This guy has been on the missionary field 37 years. And I thought, maybe he's been on there too long, I thought, he's all right. You're a good brother, but I thought, he's not. He made a mistake here. But then, lo and behold, I looked into the information. After a couple months of praying and looking, it felt like I needed to do a survey trip to this area, where it's 97% Catholic. And there's 500,000 people there, 520-something thousand, and it's 97% Catholic. There is no other alternative. And so that's a little different than where I was living. So I said, I need to get down there and see what's going on. So that's what I'm going to show you here, is this area right here, South Tyrol, is right below Austria, and it used to be part of basically Austria, you could say, German-speaking. It's not really even supposed to be part of Italy. And it's a Catholic area with 8 cities, and it's the most northern province of Italy. So there you see it. And my wife, by the way, grew up here in Sicily. That's right here. And anyways, this is the northern part of Italy. Right here is Trento. If you ever heard of the Council of Trent, I'm going to talk about that later a little bit, but that's right here. That's right here, 2 hours south. So that's probably why it's very Catholic, is because the Counter-Reformation started down there. And that's right before Luther died, Martin Luther, the Catholics wanted to regain ground. Anyways, here's Verona and here's Venice, so you kind of get an idea. When we went over there, the first thing you see is German, then Italian. You see Oberstadt, that's Città Alta, and then Marktplatz, Piazza Mercato, it's German, and then Italian. Innsbruck is very beautiful. They take the tracks, unbelievable there. Innsbruck, in Austria, you cannot go to Austria as a missionary. You can, if you're a national, but you can't get a missionary visa, so there's not a lot of missionary activity in Austria. So Innsbruck is wide open for preaching. This is the cities we preached in when we were in South Tyrol. At Christmas, we went there. My wife and the kids handed out gospel tracts, and in Europe, you can put them in mailboxes. So we can put them in mailboxes, and they read them, and even Luca tries to help, amen, my son. But you got to watch out that he doesn't put his hand way down in there, and then you have problems. So that's another thing there. But here are some major cities. And this is the verse, as I was reading my German Bible, I knew that the Lord wanted me to preach in German, and I'm not going to talk about myself, but I'm just telling you how the Lord led me. The Lord's going to lead us through the Word of God. And I was sitting there with my German Bible reading Romans 1 the day after I got back from my survey trip, and I prayed, Lord, I know I'm called to these German-speaking people of Europe, you know, whether it be in Germany, I'll move to Switzerland or Austria, I don't care, but I don't know if I'm supposed to learn Italian. Because if you go to South Tyrol, you need to have Italian also. They all speak German. But the problem is that there's a lot of Italian people that come there. They come there and flood the place because of tourism. So you need to have Italian to win. And there's a lot of people that from Italy that don't have good work. And the good jobs are up where we live, or where we're going to live. They all want to get up to South Tyrol because everything is like Germanic, but has some Italian. So everyone wants to get there. So you need to have Italian to win the people there that come up. And anyways, I prayed, Lord, you want me to learn Italian or go to this area? I don't really know what you want me to do. And then the Lord used four words to show me. I am debtor both. There it is. The Lord says, debtor both. That's it. And you know what? We're debtor to every soul. You know that. Go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And, you may limit your own self. Or you may limit your responsibility, but you're responsible for everyone here in the Word. And the Lord can give you multiple, I'm not no linguist, I grew up on a dairy farm, but the Lord can help you and equip you for whatever He calls you to do. And so just follow the Lord in that. And this is the area, it used to be part of a big empire for 1,000 years. It was part of the Habsburg Reich. It's the Habsburg Kingdom, you'd say. And for 1,000 years, it's a Catholic stronghold, very rich. And I'm not going to go into all the history. There's some history about Napoleon and stuff like that. But the main thing you have to know is it was always part of a big empire until World War I. So now World War I, that's in 1920 at the end of it. And what happened was Italy wanted to remain neutral in World War I. And the two sides, obviously, the Allies who won the war, said to Italy before the war, hey, if you join us, the Allies said, we'll give you South Tyrol and other lands as a reward. So they went into the war. After the war, Italy took possession of this land. It wasn't even Italian at all. So now the land South Tyrol is part of Italy ever since then. Anyways, and then Mussolini rose to power, and he was at the same time as Hitler. And now Hitler, he had, you know, his communist dictatorship and the Nazis. And then you had fascism, which is real similar. It's all different, same thing, basically. Just different thing. But anyways, Mussolini and Hitler, you see them there. But they used to meet up in South Tyrol. And so these two dictators would meet together right there. So this was a land that got tore up by these two guys. What they did was they sat down. And Hitler had wanted all the German people from there because they're very, very specialized people there for fighting in the mountains. And so he wanted to get all the people. And Mussolini wanted to get rid of the German people. And he outlawed German to be spoken because he wanted that land to become part of Italy like it should be. They were all speaking German. He said, no, you got to be Italian like the rest of us from Rome. And so they made this agreement. In 1939, every person in South Tyrol had to decide either you leave to go to Hitler and you forsake everything and you can speak German with Hitler, or you stay here and you give up everything and you become part of the Mussolini thing. So 86% left and left everything. And Mussolini, what he thought of the people was not very good. He has on a part of a building, in a parliament building there, he has, I came to civilize these beasts of this area. He came and he wanted to civilize the beast of this area. So that's about what he thinks of the area. So this area today has its own government today, in a way, and 90% of its tax money stays there, and Rome runs Italy, but this area has a lot of its own power. So that's why they are kind of independent. And 97% Catholic, just so you know, America's 22, Germany's 29, and you go from there, very high percentage. The Lord said, behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. We don't believe in having idols. Amen. The Lord made it very clear that idolatry and having all these crucifixes with the Lord on it is not giving glory to God. But in Italy, they obviously didn't get the message. In the area we're going to, it's completely full. Thousands of these. Thousands of idols everywhere. On the sides of houses, in wood, it doesn't matter where you go, on the bridges, as you enter the city, as you leave the city, I've seen idols with corn by them. You know, we want to get a good harvest this year. Let's give some corn to the idol. I've seen it all there. And eventually it leads to Mary worship. Because Mary is always, you know, she's never on the cross. Now, someone told me they saw Mary on the cross once. I don't know. They said that down in Rome or something, that Mary was on the cross and Jesus. I don't know how that makes any sense. But the Mary's always healthy, you know, doing real good, and Jesus is suffering. Anyways, they worship Mary over there. And I saw that firsthand. This guy is showing me, they carve them all by hand. They carve all these by hand, this man's showing me. Anyways, there was a man named Jacob Hutter. And the Hutterites are people, they're in Canada now. And they're kind of like colony people. You know, not like Amish, but they're kind of like Mennonite. But this guy had the gospel right. Jacob Hutter was a real preacher. And he got burned by the Catholics because he preached the gospel. So this man is back in the 1500s. He got burned because he preached. Now, he came from South Tyrol. So I wanted to go to his city and see where he was, you know, born. I wanted to preach there. So we went there that day, and all of a sudden we saw this big group of 100-something men marching with a crucifix in a town. And they went to the Catholic Church. And I went to the Catholic Church, and I guess this thing that they do once a year, they march around almost 100 miles with this crucifix into the church, and then they sing songs to the Mary. It was Mary. And I was there, and I saw it. And anyways, then I was able to preach at them as they came out. So that was my biggest church service I had so far. And they all came and was able to see some things there. Now, there's a lot of beauty over there, and I'm going to talk about Jacob Hutter later. I preached where he got burned. That's Innsbruck. But there's a lot of beauty in Europe. There's a lot of beauty. There's about 30 castles like this in South Tyrol. A lot of mountains. There's 80 or more peaks over 9,000 feet. A lot of skiing. This is a mountain pass, and there's a church up there that only in half the year is available to, you can only go on this road half the year. And so this is the building I would like to get for a church. So I can have a good vacation 6 months a year. And it seats about 10 people. So anyways, that's up in the mountain. A lot of the Alpine culture. A lot of hiking. I like hiking. I put my son right in the backpack. And there's a lot of these poles that show you how far to go and how long it takes and all that. And yeah, a lot of beauty. And I'm going to be done here in 5 minutes. And in one of the cities, Brixen, the Pope stayed one night there. So you got to know that. I don't know what Pope it was, but the Pope stayed one night there. And they're very proud of that. So it's something to know, I guess. That's what they like. And this city, Sterzing. Now, Sterzing is the most northern city of Italy. and it's about 40 minutes from Innsbruck. So right as soon as you get into Italy, this is the city. And this is the city that my wife and I, after we surveyed, we said this city, for some reason, has a good liberty to it. It would be a great city geographically to reach the area. So we were praying about this city, and two months after we surveyed the area, I really felt like this is it. We should move here. And around that same time, I called a missionary. The missionary that we had talked to earlier, he's in Italy. Anyways, I was talking to a missionary, and he said, "Hey, did you ever hear of this other brother down in Verona?" And I said, "No." He said, "Well, he just had a really good family about 4 months ago leave to your area. And they're young Christians, and he left because of work, but he doesn't have a church, and they've been praying for a church." And I said, "Well, I don't know. Where is he, you know?" He said, "Have you ever heard of Sterzing? They live there, and they've been praying for a church." So the Lord had already led us. And before, it's funny, because this older missionary said, "I wouldn't be surprised if there's someone praying for a missionary when you go there." And I said, "Man, there's no way." Well, the Lord had it brought together, and we went down there and met Daniele. And he moved because of his job. He works for the Carabinieri, and that's like the Army of Italy. And this man grew up in Sicily. His wife did. Him and his wife are from Sicily. Of all places, they grew up, right? My wife has been to where they were. And they grew up in Germany also. They speak both languages. And he's a young Christian, and we've seen him a couple times now. He has 3 kids, and they're waiting for us when we get back. So praise the Lord. And he's amazing. I mean, he's a young Christian, and he doesn't have a preacher, and he's praying because of his job. And he's stuck there, and then the Lord led us there, and just it was a real blessing. So he's waiting there, and when we went down and saw him for the first time, his mother-in-law was there, Maria, a Catholic, and she got saved as we were sitting there. And Innsbruck, I'm going to try to go there once a week and preach. A lot of liberty there. And preached under this golden roof where Jacob Hutter was burned at the stake by the Catholics. And that's what it says right here. And I preached on Cain and Abel. Because that's about what it boils down to. Is all the killers of Christians are Cains. Because they're not accepted by the Lord. And when someone does not get accepted by the Lord, they get very violent. And you see that. And anyways, that sermon didn't go over so good over there. But I preached that. Hopefully I don't end up too hopefully I don't end my race too quick, amen? But I told him that too. I said if the Lord tarries, this might be my end too, just like this man. Because that's really what it comes down to. If the Lord does not come back, we are going to see some suffering. Let's pray that we get out of here. And in Trento, I'm almost done, but this is a pagan fountain with Neptune on it. And in front of the churches of Rome, there's always pagan idolatry, because Rome is pagan. And this is the church where they had the Council of Trent, and I just want to show you a couple things. The reason they had the Council of Trent was really simple, is that the church is the interpreter of Scripture, not the Holy Spirit, the church. And then secondly, is they were losing so many people because of the Reformation that they had to have this council and regain everyone by fear. And anyways, I want to show you really quick, is they said there was 125 curses, anathemas, on people that do not agree with the church. So I'm going to see if you're cursed today. If one does not believe that the 12 apocryphal books are sacred and part of the canon of Scripture, let him be anathema. Well, I do not believe the Apocrypha is inspired. So I got one strike. If anyone says that justifying faith is nothing else than confidence in divine mercy, which remits sins for Christ's sake, or that it is in this confidence alone that justifies us, let him be anathema. I believe that we are saved by faith alone through the blood of Jesus Christ. I got 2 strikes. Let's see the last one. If anyone says that baptism is optional, that it is not necessary for salvation, let him be anathema. Well, I believe that you can make a profession and ask Christ to save you, and before you get to the water pool, you're going to go to heaven. So I got 3 strikes. Catholic Church struck me out. The Mother Mary. Amen. And what are we going to do? Let's go fishing, amen? And he saith unto them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And all we can do is go win some souls. And just be busy fishing, and you know what? Don't, you know, fishing is supposed to be something you can enjoy, relaxing with the Lord. It's really hard to understand. The Lord wants you to labor with him in the midst of all this opposition. So just enjoy serving the Lord, and I think we're going to stop here. If there's any questions, how about this? If there's any questions, ask me right now in between. I'm going to take this down, and then at the picnic I'll be there. So praise the Lord, and we'll see you in a little bit here.